John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, and I welcome my colleague Bernard Weinstein, Bud Weinstein, an emeritus professor of applied economics at the University of North Texas, a fellow of the Good Enough College in London, recently retired as associate director of the McGuire Energy Institute at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, writing at The Hill about a term of art in energy production. It's called base load generation. It turns out to be critical, and it's a way of talking about the recent news, unhappy news, of the deep freeze in Texas that alarmed and challenged people all over several states. But a very good evening to you. What is base load generation, and why do we depend upon it? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Base load generation, that's the power we never think about. We just assume it's there. And when we flip a light switch or we turn on our ovens, we're always going to have electricity. But more specifically, base load generation refers to those power sources that are always on. They're not intermittent. They operate 24/7. So we're talking about coal-fired generation. We're talking about large natural gas plants. And we're talking about nuclear plants. That's what base load is comprised of. These blackouts and brownouts and deep freezes and other disruptions that we've seen in recent years, I believe have come about largely because we've been ignoring baseload generation and we've been focused too much on what are called intermittent power sources. Intermittent power sources are those that aren't on 24/7. And we're talking primarily about wind and solar, which have grown tremendously in terms of their contribution to the grid. But as we've seen in the last couple of years, intermittent power often means unavailable power or, at the worst, unreliable power.
Yes, sometimes the wind doesn't blow, although I understand it blows well in Texas. Good. Texas, everything does well in Texas. But sometimes it doesn't blow, and sometimes in California the sun doesn't shine. We've talked about renewables before. There are investigations underway about the Texas deep freeze, and I've not kept up with the headlines. These investigations, are they revealing something new that we didn't know about, or was this a failure of a number of hands, not the least of which was renewables, but also other parts of the states? How is it judged now, these many weeks later, Bud?
It's a very complicated situation. It'll take a long time to figure out exactly what went wrong, but essentially, we were not here in Texas prepared for sub-freezing temperatures for 8 days. And as a consequence, a lot of windmills in West Texas froze up. There wasn't enough pressure in the gas lines. A number of plants were down for maintenance. There were some pricing issues, very, very convoluted the way we price electricity in Texas. And that's kind of why I wrote this piece, because even here in Texas, we have been neglecting baseload power. And if we'd had more coal plants, if we'd had more nuclear, if we had more large gas plants up and running, we wouldn't have had the rolling blackouts that we saw in Texas in February. But we have shuttered a dozen large coal plants in this state. We even have some large natural gas plants that aren't operating. We've added a lot of wind, a little bit of solar, but that just didn't get us through the deep freeze. And we're not unique in Texas. There have been problems in the Northeast. The Northeast had some really severe freezes in 2014 and in 2018, which led to brownouts. And not rolling blackouts, but real concerns about the integrity of the power grid. And I think that's the basic issue. What can we do to ensure reliability on the nation's power grids? And even the Biden administration has been talking about that as part of their infrastructure program, how to strengthen the nation's power grids so that we don't have brownouts, blackouts, and other disruptions.
Well, my recommendation would be a barrel of oil, a ton of coal, and natural gas flowing through the pipelines. That would be my recommendation. But I note, I was amazed to learn that in California, there is a legislation or there is a movement to ban natural gas to new homes. Natural gas, Bud. Which is responsible, you have taught me, it's responsible for the reduction in greenhouse gases, the reliance on natural gas for residents and commercial, and now they're going to ban it or limit it.
Well, that's true. A number of localities in the state of California have already banned new natural gas hookups for home heating or for cooking. I don't believe this has happened in other states yet, but there have then movements in the Northeast and in the state of Colorado to ban natural gas hookups. I don't think anything has actually been legislated. I don't think anything has been mandated at the local level. Interestingly, here in Texas, the legislature just passed a law saying that thou shalt not ban natural gas for residential or commercial use. So, yeah, this is one of the crazy things that seems to be going on in certain parts of the country, ignoring the tremendous contribution that natural gas has made to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and also ignoring the fact that we have more natural gas reserves than any country in the world.
You have big wind farms in Texas, you've told me, West Texas, huge wind farms. You do very well with those wind farms, and yet they failed for a few days and discomfited, dislodged, and hurt a lot of people in Texas. So that's not the future, bud. I don't believe we can get wind farms any better than you've got there. Is solar is solar another answer? Can we build better solar panels to replace the base generation that we need to keep our houses lit?
I don't know that we can ever talk about wind or solar as base load generation unless we have a huge amount of battery storage. You need backup for renewables in order to ensure reliability. What I think we need in this country is, ironically, something that former President Obama said. Energy was not a big policy issue during the Obama administration. But when queried about good energy policy options, President Obama said, we need all of the above, that we need natural gas, we need solar, wind, nuclear, and coal. And I believe that's true today. If we're going to keep our power grids agile, if we're going to keep them reliable, we need everything. We need coal. We need nuclear. We need solar and wind and natural gas and hydropower and everything else. What we see in Washington, however, is an attempt to use mandates and regulations and strictures that would require the use of certain fuels for certain purposes. And that kind of obviates the benefits of allowing the market to determine which fuels are used for which purposes. And by the way, for those who say, oh, yeah, but we've got all these environmental issues we need to be concerned about. Well, the market has actually done a pretty good job of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and methane and dealing with other environmental problems in the U.S. We've made more progress in terms of air quality than any other country on the planet.
The puzzle then, as we go forward, you report in your most recent piece that 31 states have either totally or partially deregulated their electric power markets. Is that a good thing? And because that's a trend. Does that answer our concerns about base generation?
Well, no, not directly. I think deregulation has been great for consumers. It's been great for businesses. It's actually been great for power generators. However, while deregulated markets can promote lower costs and efficiency, we still have to deal with extreme weather events that may impair grid reliability. So I think what is needed in deregulated markets is something called a capacity charge. So this would be in addition to your electric bill that would be passed on to generators who are on standby. And it would also help to ensure that baseload power stays on the grid, because in a fully deregulated state like Texas, power generators are only making money when there's a demand for their product. And if the lowest cost electrons going into the grid are usually things like wind, well, that kind of creates real problems for natural gas and for gold and for coal and for nuclear. So what we need is a capacity charge, as it's called, or a reliability charge that would ensure that those facilities stay online for the time when they're needed. You can't have a facility sitting idle generating no revenue. What a capacity charge would do would provide at least some revenue to facilities that are on standby, and it would also help keep these baseload power generators, particularly nuclear and coal, online.
Bernard Weinstein, Emeritus Professor of Applied Economics at the University of North Texas, writing at Real Clear Energy. I'm John Batchelor.